The passages today are sometimes referred to as Paul's pedigree. You know what a pedigree is for a dog? What's a pedigree for a dog? His lineage, his birthplace, his right, right? So the passages today are sometimes referred to as Paul's pedigree or his credentials. He had entered Corinth, which was a city of sin, idols, prostitutes, hoarding of stuff in a sick society. The church of Corinth had never really matured in their faith. The rich Christians still flaunted the blessings that they had in front of others. The educated boasted of their education, while the fishermen apostles just kept trying to reach souls for Christ. Paul was blunt with these people because he had to be. He couldn't rely on being politically correct, which is kind of a common thing we talk about here, right? These people needed to hear the raw truth. If this was Paul's resume, he might not get the job, but he would definitely leave an impression on everybody he came into contact with. He'd give them something to think about. He had to silence any doubts these Corinthian Christians had to keep them from complacency and falling into the trap of believing false apostles, false prophets, and falling away from the gospel of Christ. He was actually sacrificing his very life for the gospel, something that a false prophet would never do. As with Paul's, the trials and the hurts that we bear for Christ build character in us. But Paul worried every day about the young churches in his charge. In verse 20, he said, "If anyone enslaves you or exploits you," another version says, "devours you," they were made to believe that they were being helped when they were really being controlled and manipulated. We could go on and on about the situation in our government today, but there's times when we are being controlled and manipulated in the name of helping, and it's not helping. The Greek verb is lambano, and it means to take advantage of others. And Paul is again pointing out that false teachers were being manipulative with these people. In verse 21, he said, "To my shame." Paul had been pretty gentle with the Christians, and his gentleness had been misunderstood. It had been ignored because the false teachers got in people's faces. They were just the opposite. They were selfish, and people flocked to them. So here Paul is angry, and he's sarcastic, and he's ready to fight for his people, knowing that the false teachers had not been through what he had been through for Christ. So in verse 22, Paul starts a series of I ams. Are you Hebrew? So am I. Meaning, able to speak Aramaic. A real Jew, in other words. It was evidenced by that some false teachers were also able to speak Aramaic, was evidence that they had come from the Palestinian region. Are you Israelite? Well, so am I. I'm bragging now. As a descendant of Jacob, surnamed Israel, part of the Old Testament covenant, the Jews had a lot to be proud of. Remember, God, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, had freed them from Egypt, from slavery, and brought them out of the desert. He had made Israel lush and beautiful, while surrounding nations remained barbaric and barren. And I meant to write down a website to give you, because there's a website that you can go on to that shows the land of Israel and how lush and beautiful and productive the land of Israel is when it's all desert all the way around them. God specifically blessed them. They were God's chosen people. Remember Jacob? He was sold into slavery by his very brothers. He was separated from the father that he loved. And in weakness, but he still had made a covenant with God. And if we choose to continually seek more of the goods of this world, we will be rejected when we see God. If instead we count the reproach of Christ greater than this world's riches, we can say, "I am his and he is mine." Amen. if we serve our master, we will be somewhat alien in this world. We have to be prepared for it. But God made an everlasting covenant with us, too. Can we say, so am I, being willing to take what God gives us in life and still staying true to Him alone? Are you descendants of Abraham? So am I, he said. Like Abraham, God made an everlasting covenant with him and with us when we came to faith. We are his, and he holds us in the palm of his hand, even when we're a basket case. But here's Paul is talking about a whole nation of people, not just one man. A nation in bondage to sin and then freed. Israel, the nation. The descendants of Abraham, delivered by the blood of Lamb on the doorpost, delivered by the power of God in the desert, delivered from plagues in Egypt, delivered. Power that great is still at work today. Did you know that? Power that great is still at work today, right here in our house of worship, right here in our homes, right here in our schools. Power that strong is still at work today. Are you a servant of Christ? Well, I am more, he said. I had 39 lashes 5 times. Now, this has nothing to do with the sermon except that I just thought it was interesting. Why 39? The law was 40. Well, a lash had 3 pieces of leather on it. So 1 lash was 3. And the law was 40. So if they gave 13 lashes, that was 39. If they gave 14, they were breaking the law. So that's the reason for 39 lashes. They spared nothing, though, with Paul. He was beaten with rods, the Roman punishment. He was stoned and left for dead. He was scarred, labored to near death, imprisoned, starved, thirsty, cold, naked, shipwrecked more than once. After his conversion, not 1 year went by that Paul was not persecuted for Christ. He always worried about his health, not because of his own good, but because if he wasn't healthy, he could not get back to his people and reach more people for Christ. He wanted to know how long he could hold out and continue to pastor the pastors of the Gentile churches. Paul got angry at the false teachers. And we've had people say to us, pastors, you should not get so angry in the pulpit. Pastors, you should not be talking about any other churches from the pulpit. We've even had little notes left in the mailbox. Pastors, you should not say this from the pulpit. Well, to the person who's leaving the notes in the mailbox, we are not going to stop talking about false apostles. We are not going to stop talking about false religion and false teaching. Because it's your souls and the souls of anybody who's listening to this that are on our hands when we don't preach honestly and we don't preach the truth. So yes, we should. There's another Greek word, it's called scandalon. And it's where we get the word scandalous from. It means a baited trap, used in the sense of moral failure or being seduced by false teaching. In verses 30 and 33, Paul had been through and survived so much that he realized there is no possible way he could have had the strength to endure what he endured. His strength came from God alone. And his trials were a way for God to be glorified. And he pointed out even his embarrassment at having to escape from the king. He was humiliated and embarrassed and beaten over and over and over again. When it comes to making sacrifices for the gospel, we either don't know about it or we don't want to know about it. Think about it. We whine at the smallest of problems. And yet none of us here have really probably faced real persecution. How is your pedigree feeling today? Do you have a broken down car, a burnt dinner, sick children, no minutes on your electric bill, no minutes on your phone, cold water, a crashed computer, a broken vacuum cleaner? Is your life a basket case? So am I. Do you feel that helpless? Do you feel that mentally unstable? Well, Paul has answered your issues today with his very own. And they were greater. But keep in mind that the same God that delivered Paul is the God who delivers us. Paul got excited because he knew where he would have been before Jesus came to him. As people cried, "I'm so wretched, Paul, I'm going to hell," Paul might have been saying, "So am I," except for Jesus Christ coming to him. Think back to your sins. Don't share them. Just think back to them. Think back to your lack of self-sacrifice. Think back to your self-seeking pleasure with drugs or alcohol, your pleasure with gossip or greed, your need to be better or busier or smarter. It grieves me to know that I could be saying, "My God, I am only destined to hell because I haven't loved you with a whole heart." But like Paul, Jesus came and he made that sacrifice of his very life for me and for you. And now I can say, "So am I a descendant of Abraham, and so am I your chosen person. So am I strong enough to sacrifice for you, Lord. And so am I strong enough to endure all things. So am I, Paul. And I understand your excitement, Paul. And I understand your enthusiasm. And I understand your joy in the midst of sorrows." I would have been like Thomas saying, "Sorry, Lord, I just need a little proof. Let me put my hand in your side. Let me have a little more proof, Lord. A little more proof." But fortunately for me and for my father, God appeared to us a year and a half ago in our very home. And he converted my father in an instant. And he proved to me forever, without a doubt, that he is not only present, but he still does miracles. How can we claim to care about the mission of the church if we only show up occasionally? If we don't tithe, if we don't talk about Jesus at work, if we don't invite a neighbor or a stranger to church? How can we claim to live for him? Do we expect everything to be sunshine and roses when we come to faith? If you are due, you are sadly mistaken. What is your resume? Maybe it's time to update our resume and think about our mission. Could today be the start of your real experience with Christ? What's he calling you to do? Your calendar will tell you. Thanks be to God, Jesus changes us every single day. We never know what's in future for us, do we, Robert? Let us not perjure ourselves by claiming to be Christians and not having our love and conviction show through in every piece of our life. If we can't take a stand right now with our friends and our acquaintances surrounding us, how are we going to take a stand if ISIS came through that door with a gun right now? If you today say, "So am I," you have the power of heaven and every angel behind you. Tomorrow, Satan will tempt us again just to focus on us, just to focus on our own joy and our own pleasure. Instead, we can boldly say, "So am I stronger than you, Satan. So am I a strong servant of Christ." Spurgeon said, "Oh, prove your gratitude by your devotion and live as those who have claimed privileges are willing to take the responsibility connected with it." Trusting in God, His saints are safe. We are safe. We are saved as well. We're in good company with the Hebrews and the Israelites and the descendants of Abraham and with all the servants of Christ. May we daily speak those three words, so am I, Jesus. So am I. Amen. Amen.